After nearly 15 years of playing midnight shows, the Rocky Horror Picture Show has finally come out on video. Critic Owen Gleiberman sizes up the new incarnation of the cultiest cult film.
In the 70s, cult movies came in two flavors. Some, like Pink Flamingos and A Clockwork Orange, were nihilistic and disturbing, sort of like the punk rock movement they helped inspire. Then there were movies like Harold and Maude and Outrageous, which were sweet, even sentimental at the core. But then there was the cult film that stood alone, the low-budget drag queen horror comedy that ended up becoming a kind of weekly Halloween party for the midnight movie set. What was it about the Rocky Horror Picture Show that inspired such passionate devotion? The movie's plot is pure silliness about a pair of dorky all-American kids, played by Susan Sarandon and Barry Bostwick, who end up stranded at the castle of the divinely decadent Dr. Frankenfurter, played by Tim Curry. The Rocky Horror cult started out as a gay phenomenon. For a lot of people, going to midnight shows in Frankenfurter drag was a soothing, even stylish way of coming out of the closet. But the film was soon embraced by a larger audience. And that's because it was the one midnight movie that was both subversive and sentimental, outrageous yet safe. On the one hand, Rocky Horror celebrates giving in to your kinkiest fantasies. The film's high point is undoubtedly Tim Curry's lip-smacking rendition of Sweet Transvestite.
Don't get strung up by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania.
Parading around in his corset and fishnet stockings, Curry is triumphantly lewd, a cross between Tom Jones and Jane Russell. Still, his terrific performance is the only truly scandalous thing in the movie. Even as Rocky Horror urges you to throw off those middle-class chains and give yourself over to absolute pleasure, the film says that when you do, everything will be sweetness and light.
Don't dream it. Be here. Don't dream it.
In its second half, Rocky Horror devolves into a meandering and, to my mind, rather tedious series of set pieces. Yet I'm not sure it would have become the phenomenon it did had it been a better movie. In essence, the folks who came back week after week to engage in a call and response with the film's grade Z dialogue had found a way to merge with what was happening on screen. And that depended on the movie itself being pretty lightweight stuff. Rocky Horror was certainly ahead of its time. It anticipated the Fredericks of Transylvania fashion trends that would dominate the late 70s punk scene. If only the movie had had a punk soundtrack to match its attitude. Richard O'Brien's tunefully schlocky songs are too close to Broadway for comfort. When it was announced that Rocky Horror would be released on video, some greeted this as a stake through the heart of the movie's midnight cult. But frankly, I can't think of a better place to watch the Rocky Horror Picture Show than your own living room. The truth is that the film's high camp naughtiness was domesticated long ago.
Owen Gleiberman is film critic for Entertainment Weekly. I'm Terry Gross. Have a good Thanksgiving.